It's a pleasant thing to take a country walk by a tranquil stream. If the nearby stream is uniformly wide and lined with concrete, it's not a stream. It's an irrigation ditch. And as pleasant as those ditches may be to look at, they have some shortcomings in achieving their primary mission, which is getting water from place to place. Open ditches with concrete liners, which can crack and leak, are not as efficient as pipes. The city of Ashland plans to place a stretch of what is now a Talent Irrigation District canal into a pipe. Let's get the details on the Ashland Canal Piping Project. Two guests join us from the city of Ashland. Kevin Caldwell is the Ashland Canal Piping Project manager. Welcome to you, Kevin.
Good morning.
Good to have you here. And Julie Smithern's back with us once again, the water conservation specialist for the city of Ashland. Julie, good to see you.
Good to see you too. Thank you.
So start us off, Kevin. Whoever needs to start it off here. Is this primarily a conservation project? Is that the initial reason for moving ahead on it?
Well, this whole project started really with a study that was done back in 2011 on E. coli. And it was determined that we have higher levels of E. coli in the canal, the Ashland Canal, and it increases in concentration through the city. And then outfalls into Ashland Creek, which regularly exceeds the state's limit for E. coli in a waterway.
So E. coli being stuff that comes out of the lower intestines of living creatures.
Yes.
So basically a poop-based thing.
Yes, so that and the amount of seepage from the canal, it's a 23 to 30% is what we have estimated that we're losing in a five-month period during irrigation season, which equates to over 62 million gallons per year.
62 million gallons
62
a year?
Million gallons per year.
And like Julie said, that's just from seepage and evaporation. That doesn't account for transpiration by vegetation or water loss or water theft.
Mm-hmm. It stands to reason if you're going to have an open body of water on a 110-degree day, you're going to lose something to evaporation. But is most of that evaporation or seepage, do we know?
Seepage. Okay. Seepage, like 2% of that figure is evaporation because a lot of the canal is shaded.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to make a correction because you had mentioned, Jeff, that the canal was the Talent Irrigation District canal. Mm-hmm. There's some misunderstanding there. It's this section of canal is owned and operated by the city of Ashland.
Oh, okay.
A lot of people consider it the TID canal. But it's actually owned and operated by the city of Ashland.
Okay, that explains actually one major portion here, which is how's TID feeling about this? Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter, does
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
So the city takes over ownership at Starlight Place mm-hmm. up off of Pinecrest Terrace.
Is that right at city limits?
No, it is already in city limits. Mm-hmm. And then it's a two-mile section from Starlight Place to Terrace Street. Pump station.
Is that an unusual arrangement for the city to own an irrigation canal? Because you're not actually in the irrigation business, are you?
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, it typically is an irrigation district that would own and operate these canals. So this one is unusual, which is a little confusing, I think, for the public.
All right. So let's come back to one of the major issues here, the E. coli concentration here. Where is that coming from?
From a lot of the animals that frequent the canal. So there's, of course, bears, and this year we've heard a lot about the cougars, raccoons, other critters, and also dogs being walked along the trail along the canal.
So people aren't picking up their dog poo? And
I think they're doing better, but there's still quite a bit that's left out there.
All right, so here's a whole list of reasons then, indeed, to make sure that you turn the irrigation ditch into a pipe. But, I mean, how much has this been done in the past, Kevin Caldwell? I mean, how much practice, I guess, have we had in turning irrigation ditches into pipes?
Well, the city itself, we've piped small sections due to leaks or to if the section of the canal is failing. The city has done some of that themselves. It's important to note beyond the city's efforts is that there's a regional effort titled WISE, Water for Irrigation Streams and the Economy. And their effort is to pipe all the canals in the region, primarily for the same benefits, same reasons that we're discussing today.
And we've talked to the folks at WISE before, and I remember them pointing out that trying to pipe all the irrigation canals in the Rogue Valley is a multi-billion dollar project, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Yeah, very expensive.
So how long a stretch of canal are we talking about in Ashland then?
It's about 2 miles, so about 10,700 lineal feet.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like I said, it extends from Starlight Place to Terrace Street Pump Station.
And then what kind of cost are you looking at to turn this into a pipe, and how big a pipe?
Pipe size varies depending on the type of construction we complete. The pipe size we're looking at for staff's recommendation for construction is 24-inch. And the cost for that is just slightly over $3 million for that two-mile stretch.
That's the whole installation, not just the cost of the pipe itself?
Correct, correct. Mm-hmm. The actual construction cost, I think, is like $2.2 million just for the construction, but it's $3.1 when you account for engineering, design, permitting. That's the total cost.
Okay, we're talking about the Ashland Canal Piping Project to turn an irrigation canal in Ashland into an irrigation pipe for approximately a two-mile run. Kevin Caldwell is the project manager for the city. Julie Smitherman is the water conservation specialist for the city. You can join the conversation on the exchange. Maybe some questions about what the purposes are of turning a ditch into a pipe. You've heard some of them already. Ask more questions. Provide more commentary to 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Let's talk about this particular routing of canal here, because it's got some interesting things here, not just the fact that the city owns it, but also where it ends up. This ends up dumping back into Ashland Creek, doesn't it?
That's correct, yes. It dumps back into Ashland Creek, but it also can be pumped up to our water treatment plant in years when we have limited water supply. So it acts as our backup drinking water supply.
So
as
that's
well.
That's the conveyance that actually gets the TID water into your sewage treatment plant.
That's
your water treatment
plant. Water treatment plant. Yes, that's correct. Mm-hmm. And then we also have a siphon that can take some of that water to the backside ditch that we have that ultimately ends up in Wright's Creek.
Okay, but it's interesting to have it. So you don't want E. coli, obviously, in the city's drinking water.
No, it's not ideal. No.
Yeah. So all right.
But we do send it up to the plant, and it is treated to drinking water standards. So there is no E. coli in it after it's been treated.
So, if I can interrupt, I think a lot of people don't understand that TID water does go into Ashland Creek. So I think people miss the connection of E. coli in the ditch versus in E. coli in Ashland Creek. I mean, it's a direct connection. I mean, I think a lot of people don't see that.
Yeah, do you think that's part of the reason that people have been allowing dog poo to get in there?
Yeah, it definitely a part of it. And if you've seen the signs when you're down in Lithia Park during the summer months, at times there's signs that say stay out of the water because of higher E. coli levels, and we are seeing that the canal is actually contributing to that level.
All right. So when you see the E. coli signs in the park, that's potentially mm-hmm. from what comes out of that ditch.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. You got a bunch of reasons then for wanting to get this ditch turned into a pipe. But what sorts of steps do you have to go through now? I mean, where do you stand in the process, Kevin?
Well, right now we just finished the preliminary engineering phase, and so we've got some reports and some plans, and they're available on the city's website. Yeah, we've got several steps coming up here pretty quick. We got a community meeting this Thursday here at SLU. And then following that, on February 4th, we're going to be presenting a status report to the city council in a study session. And what we're presenting them is staff's recommendation for which alternative we chose to pipe. And then following that, we would go back to the city council for a business meeting on March 5th. And there we'd be asking them if they want us to move forward into final design and engineering, or if they want us to maybe sidestep it and go a different direction.
The meeting on Thursday, is that open to the public?
Yes.
What time and where at SOU?
It's in the Stevenson Union, the gallery room, and it's from 5:30 to 7:30.
Stevenson Union Gallery, 5:30 to 7:30.
Yeah, we'll start the presentation at about 5:30, and then we'll follow it up with a question and answer period. Mm-hmm. And the whole purpose, really the primary focus of the meeting, is to present that draft of the preliminary piping alternatives and then gather more community feedback and public comment so that we can inform City Council of how the community feels about this particular project.
Has there been much input so far from the community? Have you provided venues for that yet? And even without it, have you been hearing from people about their thoughts about ditch into pipe?
Yeah, definitely. It's on people's minds. And some of the concerns that we've had is loss of some trees, because we will have to take out quite a few trees to do this project. And so that is a concern. Also, another concern is the loss of trail access, which in this particular section is really not much of an issue. We have trail easements through the Parks Department, and so a lot of the trail is protected by those easements, and so property owners are keeping those areas open so that there is still trail access in the future. Other comments that we've heard are the negative impacts to wildlife, that there won't be a water source there anymore. And the issue with that is that we've really created this artificial environment for the wildlife. We did several studies over the summer to address that issue, and we've determined that we're actually, by having the canal where it is, we're actually attracting this nuisance, as we call it, and creating the problem.
All right, so the fact that there are animals hanging around is because there's water there to hang around.
That's correct.
Without the water, you potentially have the animals looking for other places to get their water.
That's right, and there are quite a few areas that those animals can get water from.
You mentioned quite a few trees. Do you have a number on that?
We do. 285 trees are within the easement that we are considering removing if this project moves forward.
Is it necessary to get them out of the way of the pipe, out of the way of the construction equipment, both of those?
All of the above. Mm-hmm. We need the room for construction. The city's easements are only 20 feet wide, so we need every inch of that 20 feet for construction itself. But we've worked closely with Siskiyou Biosurvey to understand. Originally, we thought we could leave some of those trees and, you know, kind of route the pipe around them. But what we learned rather quickly is the root systems of those trees have filled in under the existing canal, and when we go to replace the liner, the existing one, we have to install a pipe. We have to lower the pipe about a foot, and so we'll be damaging all those root systems. And so that what we've been told is, you know, if they're not in our way for construction, the damage to the root system is going to kill the trees.
All right. So I mean, is there a chance that once construction is over, there could be a narrowing of that corridor again, that you'd allow some trees to grow back again, or is this still going to be a fairly open area?
That's a good question. I mean, we're only talking 20 feet, you mm-hmm. know, in a heavily forested area. So I don't know that we're going to see narrowing of the corridor. In fact, it would be in the city's best interest to keep it cleared for access and maintenance.
We are talking to a couple of people from the city of Ashland about the idea for the Ashland Canal Piping Project to turn a stretch of irrigation canal into a pipe. Kevin Caldwell is the project manager, Julie Smitherman, the city's water conservation specialist. A couple minutes left if you want to join us at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. I'll give his whole name because he identifies himself as coming from the Public Citizen Litigation Group. This is Scott Nelson in Washington, D.C. asks by email, under normal conditions when TID water is not used for drinking water, how much of the water goes from the Terrace Street pumping station to Ashland Creek, and how much is pumped across the creek to the ditch that continues to flow to the northwest?
I could take that one. We don't have numbers of the amount of water that goes into Ashland Creek from the pump station. It's not metered, and that spillage is just a factor of maintaining kind of a steady flow level in the canal. So it's not significant, but we just don't have a number for that. And what was the second part of that question?
How much of it is pumped across the creek to the ditch that continues to flow to the northwest? How much of it continues on as TID water?
Do we have those numbers?
It's 1 to 2 million gallons a day.
Yeah.
Is roughly what's going into the backside is what mm-hmm. we call it. We call the section we're referring to right now is called the front side. Mm-hmm. And then so that extra water would go to the backside. We have a water right of 1,369 acre feet that we are allowed to use each year during irrigation season. And we typically never get up to that level, and we usually ask TID to send us between 800 to 1,000 acre feet in any given summer.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we get from acre feet to gallons. How many gallons to an acre foot?
Acre foot, it's well, that's a good question. 43,000. It's 43,560.
43,560 mm-hmm. gallons per acre foot.
Yes.
Okay. All right, that was fast.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
So, we talked about the trees. The trail. The trail is going to be essentially unaffected once construction is over with. You won't have a little open water area next to it anymore, but otherwise the trail will be unaffected once the pipe is in place?
Correct. I mean, the finished product will look like a wider trail than what we have now.
Because there won't be the watery part.
Exactly.
All right. So what kinds of options? That you mentioned a couple of alternatives to present to the city council. What kinds of variations between the alternatives?
We looked at four different options with our engineers, Adkins Consulting Engineers. The first option was to replace the entire system with new 24-inch pipe, and that's the option the city's recommending, or staff's recommending. The second option was to leave the current pipe sections and put a new liner in those sections and then install pipe in all the open canal sections. And that option is obviously that one's a little more expensive. And then another option we looked at was to pull out the existing liner, concrete liner, and install a new concrete liner. And then the fourth option we looked at was do nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, what happens if we just leave it like it is? And that has a lot of negatives. And that's why we're considering the piping project to begin
with.
So
basically from A to D, there are less aggressive approaches.
Correct.
From to the point of making a comprehensive overhaul to doing nothing.
Correct.
And so you mentioned some pipe sections already?
Yes.
How long?
Yeah, total pipe sections we have, you know, we're looking at piping 10,000 feet, and of that, 3,500 feet is piped now. Most of them are like under driveways or roads. And there's a large pipe section that's a couple blocks up near Elkader.
All right, so not unknown at this point already.
Correct.
Before we go, we only have about a minute or so here. Julie has something to say.
I need to make a correction.
Okay.
1 acre foot is not equal to 43,000 gallons. It's actually equal to 325,000.
325,000.
Yes. I was thinking of just acres and not acre feet.
Ah, okay. Thank you for that correction.
Yes,
I very
absolutely.
Much appreciate that. So, just a couple seconds then here. Things moving along about as you expected. Have there been any hitches so far, Kevin?
No hitches. We knew this was a challenging project from the beginning, and Julie and I tried our best to be real sensitive to the public and real open and transparent in this process.
Where does the money come from if it goes to $3.3
million? It's a DEQ loan of $1.3 million. There's a funding gap there, and we'll be talking to the city council about where they want to find the additional funding if this moves forward.
Okay. We will see what shakes out with the Ashland Canal Piping Project. There is a meeting Thursday evening at 5:30 at the Stevenson Union Gallery on campus at Southern Oregon University. We've been talking to Kevin Caldwell, who is the project manager for the City of Ashland. Julie Smitherman, the Water Conservation Specialist for the City of Ashland. Good to have you both here once again. Thanks for joining us to talk about all the features of the Ashland Canal Piping Project.